For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
It is good to come around the Word of God. It is good to come into the presence of God. The church is a sanctuary for us to come and to receive from the Spirit of God what God has to say to us, and he speaks to our hearts individually as he moves. And so let's commit this time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for your precious word and for the presence of the Holy Ghost in our midst. Lord, I ask that every person here be blessed abundantly and through the hearing of the word increase in faith and hope. In the name of Jesus we ask this. Amen. Praise God. Tonight we're looking at There is a King in Israel. And as I look at this particular topic, I'm very much aware that we're living in a society that is quite rebellious to authority. And in fact, many times very critical of authority and does not understand that things like offices and that is what where God has placed people, regardless of how they might measure up personally. We know that we must have respect to authority, and we do not see that in great measure in our society. In fact, people that should be honoured and respected in our society are actually rebelled against. And that's a sad thing, but the Lord is doing a work that will reverse that type of thing in our society. If we look in the book of Judges, we see something very interesting, because in Judges there was no king, and that had a profound effect on the society, because there was no authority. And if you think about a king, there is authority present, there is a word that is given out, a word of commandment. When we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, he is in fact the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we'll look at that in a bit more detail later on. But when we think about that, we know that when he speaks, his word is a word of authority. His word is a word of authority. In fact, we have a Bible in English which has the name of a king attached to it, King James. King James I. So we know quite clearly that God sees authority as very, very important and places people in authority. What happened in the book of Judges shows us that when there is a lack of authority, or people don't have that in place in their lives, they become rudderless. That is, they start to do things all according to their own ways and their own thinking and their own reasonings. And that's not good. Let's have a look at Judges 17, verses 1 to 6, first of all. Judges 17, verses 1 to 6. And you'll see just from this passage alone, I won't go into great detail about what it's saying, but just from this passage alone, you'll see that there was very confused thinking. They were thinking that they were doing things for the Lord, and yet what they were doing was very much the opposite. So we're just going to read it through, and I just want you to note what it says very clearly in verse 6. It says, "And there was a man of Mount Ephraim, whose name was Micah, and he said unto his mother, 'The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me, I took it.' And his mother said, 'Blessed be thou of the Lord, my son.' And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, his mother said, 'I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son,'" notice what it says next, "'to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore, I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the mother unto his mother, money unto his mother. And his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image. And they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had an house of gods, and made an ephod and teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons, who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And I think you can see here they're talking about dedicating money to the Lord, and yet they're going about making graven images and doing things like that. So you can see there's a lot of confused thinking there. And the summary of it is in verse 6, no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We also see the same statement in Judges 21 verse 25, so it bears for us to look at that. Judges 21 verse 25. So when you read through the book of Judges, you'll see all types of contradictory things. If you look at the life of Samson, for example, you'll see how could he be a man of God and yet be doing things like that, and so on. But we see it all comes about by not having that standard, which is so very necessary. And the whole sum of Judges is really in Judges 21 verse 25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, we who are of spiritual Israel have no excuse. We see the prophecy in Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. Let's look at that. Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. This is the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that God has decreed that the government, and that is the governing of everything, would be upon him. And in Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, this is what we read in this well-known prophecy. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Notice that, the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And notice what it says in verse 7, of the increase of his government, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ will be upon the throne of David. And we see that he has a kingdom, because it talks about upon his kingdom, and talks about it will be with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. So we see the Lord Jesus Christ has a kingdom. He has that government that's been placed upon him, and he will rule. He will rule and reign. And in fact, the Lord Jesus Christ pointed out a couple of things that we should bear in mind. He said that except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we know that in John 3. We won't turn to it, but in John 18:36, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." So the Lord Jesus Christ pointed out two things there, and there's many other things we could talk about. But he talked about entering into the kingdom of God required a person to be born again. And then he talked about his kingdom is not of this world. So the world system made up of men and women who are not born again and not under or have not made as the authority in their life the Lord Jesus Christ as their king, as their master. And that's important for us to understand. But spiritual Israel, which is the church, has a king over it, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a look at Matthew 25, go to Matthew 25, and look at start from verse 31. We'll go through a few verses here. I don't want to take us right through this, but It talks about when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, where there would be a separation of the nations. So by this time, many of the nations have become what is known as sheep nations, that is, the nations of righteousness, of the righteous, and there'll be some that are goat nations, that is, those nations that have rejected Christ. So we do expect in the future that there would be whole nations turned to Christ. That's the expectation of the Lord prophetically, and we should make that our expectation as well. But notice what the title of the Lord Jesus is in this passage. It's out of verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Okay, so he'll be sitting upon a throne, the throne of his glory. And verse 32, and before him shall be gathered, how many? All nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the, notice his title, King, capital K, then shall the King say unto them on his right hand, that's the sheep nations, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Obviously a kingdom has a king, and we see that one of the titles of the Son of Man, or the Lord Jesus Christ here, is the King. And he is going to be ruling and reigning with those of the sheep nations there. So we understand that when Jesus is referred to as being in Revelation 19 as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it's not talking about he'll be the king of the natural kings. It's talking about he'll be the kings of a king of the kings who have been made kings and priests by being born again into the kingdom of God, and that's you and me. So let's have a look at Revelation 19. It's very important that we have a look at this, because if we have a look at Revelation 19, we see that, we do see his title, but we also see that he is coming to smite nations. So those that have not got in line with the will of God are those who will be left out of the kingdom, left out of the inheritance. But of course, we who are righteous are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he wants us to rule and reign with him. So when we talk about there is a king in Israel, we are pointing to an authority, the authority, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, as the authority in our lives personally, but also the authority over the entire creation of God. Praise the Lord. So Revelation 19, starting from verse 11. Start from verse 11 of Revelation 19. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So we know one of the titles of the Lord Jesus is the Word. Verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in linen, fine linen, white and clean. Now, that's the righteousness of the saints. And those armies are us, who are righteous, following with him. And of course, there'll be angelic powers as well with him as well. So what we see here is that we are with him, and this is after the great tribulation, of that 7-year period on the earth where there's going to be the rise of the final Antichrist. the Lord Jesus Christ is returning with great power and authority with his saints. The Bible says that several places in Scripture. Verse 15 says, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So we see very clearly that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to deal the judgment, and specifically he's coming, as it says, to judge and make war in verse 11. And what part of that judgment is the separation of the nations that we mentioned before. But notice it says he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. So those who do not acknowledge him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords are in a very dangerous place, and they will be suffering the great wrath of God. Let's have a look at Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6. So it's important for us to see Jesus has the title King of Kings, but that word kings is not referring to the natural kings, those who haven't been born again. It's referring to those who have been born again, and there's been something that's happened in those who have been born again to make them from being, as we know, servants of sin or sinners, to being the righteous. To being the righteous, because it's the righteous that are going to inherit the kingdom, not those who aren't righteous or who are sinners. So looking at Revelation 1 verses 5 and 6, we see the position that we are in with respect to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So when it talks about the kings of the earth there, and then in verse 6 it's talking about he made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Obviously, we have been made kings and priests unto God, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and his Father, that's God the Father. So we know that our place in the kingdom of God is assured because we have acknowledged the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's important for us to understand, because if we don't, then we will be like those who are building their life upon the shifting sand rather than upon the words and commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said to someone recently, it's not sufficient just to say, "I love Jesus," because the Bible says, Jesus himself said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So that means that you are acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ as one who gives commandments, as an authority, as one who is to be obeyed. So it's not sufficient just to say, "Well, I love Jesus," and yet be doing your own thing, as in the book of Judges. You know, that's acting as though there is no king in your life. So you can see that's a hypocritical style of life. That shouldn't be us. We should be ones that acknowledge the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we are part of spiritual Israel. Let's have a look at Romans 2, 28 and 29. Because as part of spiritual Israel, our reigning doesn't start when the Lord Jesus Christ returns on earth. We should be reigning in life now. It should be that we walk by faith, we live by faith, we stand by faith, we speak by faith, we have the spirit of faith, and as we are walking as Christians, we are walking a victorious life. There's a lot of scriptures that talk about being victorious and triumphant in the Christian life. And we have to learn as and grow in faith and understand that our lives started in the Lord when we were born again. Okay, eternal life started then. And then the Lord expects us to be trained up in the ways of the Lord. He expects us to grow in faith. He expects us to understand how to rule and reign on the earth now. So that when He comes, it's not going to be a shock to the system, so to speak. We already know that we have a King and He wants us to rule and reign with Him. He's with us now. So we are in probably... one of the most hostile environments of history in terms of how much is coming against Christianity, and yet the Lord wants us to rule and reign even in that environment. Okay, so we are people that must be people that right now are understanding where we are. So He is a King. He is the King, I should say. The King of spiritual Israel, which is the church. Have a look at Romans 2, verses 28 and 29, first of all. 28 and 29, it says, "But he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." So in terms of spiritual Israel, God is seeing that we are spiritually Jews on the inside, and that's what we have to acknowledge here. Doesn't mean that natural Israel is out of the picture, because we know that there's many prophecies talking about natural Israel being converted in the latter days and coming into spiritual Israel, into the church, as believers in Christ. So Paul the Apostle, for example, made that prophecy. It's also in Ezekiel 38 and 39, which talks about the conversion of Israel as well. So also have a look at Romans 5 verse 17. This is one to take into your heart, and good one to confess, because right now you are a person that should be acknowledging you have a King. There is a King in Israel now. You have a King. He is a King over your life. He gives commandments, and we are to obey Him. We are to do what He wants us to do. You know, when Jesus says things, we shouldn't be thinking, oh, that's like an optional extra that we should add to our life. We should be saying, well, that's a serious thing to take. When He says things like, have faith in God, that's a commandment that we need to take seriously. When He says things like, let not your heart be troubled, that's a commandment, not an optional extra, and so on. There's many other scriptures. So Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Romans 5 verse 17 says, for if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, that's us, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So when does our reign as a king and a priest start? When does our reign as a king start? In life, right now. Once we've received Christ as our Saviour, once we have been born again, we start our reign. We start our reign. Now, we know in the church there's some who are not reigning very well, but there's others that are, yes, they're understanding where they are in the kingdom of God and what they've been made by the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been made new creatures in Christ and so on. But we have to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church. He's the head of the body, and that's in Colossians 1:18. We won't turn to that. Jesus is our ultimate authority. His words must matter to us. He said, and He talked about the wise man building his house upon the rock. And He said that that's people that build their lives, build their house upon what the Lord Jesus Christ, upon his sayings, what he has said. And that's us. Glory to God, you have got a firm foundation. But God expects us to reign in life. And this is one scripture that you should put into your mouth and say, thank you, Lord, I have received the abundance of grace. I've received the gift of righteousness. And I reign in life by one, the Lord Jesus Christ. I reign in life by him. Good thing to say. Don't think of yourself as under the circumstances and so on, but see that there is a king in Israel now. And that king, we know one day will be coming out in great power and glory, but that's a king we acknowledge now. We don't have to wait until we go to heaven or till he comes back before we acknowledge him as king. We acknowledge him as king right now. Praise the Lord. So let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for what the Lord Jesus has done in our hearts and lives. He has made us kings and priests. And Lord, we know that as new creatures in Christ, there is a new way to live. We know that we are no longer of the world. We're in the world, but no longer of the world. We're of the kingdom of God. And we glorify you, Lord, and we praise you. Father, I ask that you show every person here how to reign in life, how to walk by faith, how to grow and understand the importance of the word of the King to us. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. Praise God. Amen. God is good. God is good, and he's instructing us more and more, instructing us and leading us in the way we should go.